Well, good morning. Most of you know who I am. I am Rick Smith. I am one of the triumvirate. Okay, there's Dusty, who just walked out the door with the kids. There's Dane Moore, who's back there in the back. And there's me, Rick Smith. We three are the pastors. Now, some of you have been here a couple of weeks, so you've seen a couple of different people preach. And you just have to understand this is the way we do it, okay? We rotate. So the cool thing is you get a chance to know a little bit about us from hearing us and interacting with us. We do stuff at 9:32, just for you all to know. We have a teaching time, and here at 9:30, there's a group that's focusing on prayer that's back there with Dusty, and then Dane's with the young adults back over here. So we have things going on at 9:30, but at 11, we all kind of swap and take turns. One of the things that I want to just say before I get started with you today is that the cool thing is I believe God has helped us turn a corner. Okay, we're moving in a different direction. God's moved in more ways than one. Okay, you're going to hear us talking about, yeah, God's pulling us back to Georgetown to make that our hub. That was where we started. That's where we're going to return. But in the course of that, God's doing other things. And the thing that we've been talking about for, I guess, about the last month is the harvest. Now, why this is such an important topic for us is the truth is all of us have been in the harvest. All of us have been there. Some of us are still there, and that's okay. All right? So today I'm talking to the people who need to be aware of the harvest. Some of us just need to realize and remember. And I want to start out with just being thankful. I want to encourage you to be thankful. Being grateful for what God's done in your life, for the fact that you are even here today, okay? That you are breathing, that you are, for whatever perspective you might, you're relatively well and you can be gathered with God's people today. That you have the ability and the wisdom and the discernment to see the world as it is and to be able to intercede for those who are in the world, and you can make a difference. That is something to be absolutely thrilled with. We are here now in this time, and God is doing great stuff. We have a lot to be focused on that's very, very good. So I want to start with that. We need to embrace being grateful. We've been talking about the harvest, and before we get started, I want to just go back and I want to pray for a second. So let's bow. Father, we're coming here before you today. We are gathered as your people. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today, that, Lord, you would lift us up and encourage us today so that we would know who you are, what you have for us, and that, Lord, you would move us however far from where we've been to where you want us to be as we grow to be more like Jesus. Thank you for a fellowship that believes in that. And we bless your name as you join our hearts together in Jesus. We ask all this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we've been talking about the harvest, and one of the ways that Jesus described the harvest is sheep without a shepherd. I have been a sheep without a shepherd. I remember times in my life when I did not know, I did not understand, life did not make sense. There was no one in my life that I felt like had the credibility to speak to me about what life I needed to really be living. I saw everything around me was broken. Even the people that loved me the most didn't seem to be able to get it together. That is a hard place to be. But I know what God has done in my life. I know that I went from being in the harvest then to becoming one of those people that was sent out into the harvest. And the change is very, very noticeable. Because now I have joy, I have peace, I have confidence, stuff that I never lived with in my life before. Because I trust that God's in charge of all that. And I know that Jesus has done stuff in my life and he's going to continue to do stuff in my life. And I want you to have that same peace and joy and confidence that you see God doing amazing things in your life. And that's why I'm talking about the harvest today, is because that is an important part of that. Jesus cared enough about the condition of people's hearts to literally leave heaven and come here. That was quite an investment, because he invested everything to come be like you and me, and then to die, and then to come back again 3 days later to pull his life back up from the grave. So I want to talk to you about the harvest, because the harvest was very much on God's heart all the time. Several weeks ago, Doug Dorman stood right here and he challenged us with an understanding of the harvest. He talked about how God had told his disciples that they needed to pray that God would send workers into the harvest. And they understood what he was talking about, because he was talking about people just like them. It wasn't somebody else. So I want to start with that same passage. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And there it says in that record, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. A funny thing happened after that command. You know what happened? After he told them to pray for workers to go into the harvest, y'all know what happened? Well, let's see what happened. Next slide there, John. If you look in chapter 10 of Matthew, the very next thing, just turn the page. It said, Jesus then called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. He told them, as you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of God has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely you've received, freely give. But he didn't stop there. It expanded later on, and really not too far later. If you look at Luke chapter 10, it wasn't 12 this time. This time it says, after the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him into every town and place where he was about to go, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest. Same message, right? 12, 72. Do you get the consistency? He called them to pray. But I believe that he's calling us to do very much the same thing at this point of time in our lives that he was telling them to do. We're supposed to be praying that God would send workers into the harvest, because the harvest is all around us. And we've been there and we know what it was like. And it was no fun. A funny thing happens, though, when we do that. When we do what Jesus tells us to do, we change. Have you had that experience? When you do what God tells you to do, in this case, pray for workers to go into the harvest, guess what happens? We change. And a part of that change, a big part of that change, most significant part of that change, is that we come to the realization that it's not someone else who's supposed to go. Here am I, send me. That's a part of the change. We get the picture. 12, 72, and then we realize we are the ones who's supposed to go. How do I know that? How do I know that we're the ones who are supposed to go? If we pay attention, we'll be smart. Next slide, John. You ever heard a thing called the Great Commission? It's at the end of Matthew. We all memorized it if we happen to grow up in church. Okay? It says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's Jesus speaking. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations. 12, 72, now all of us-ins. The whole thing, everyone, everybody who follows Jesus, he is sending us out. to speak about the kingdom of God, the one we've experienced, the change that we've had in life, the thing that's gone on in us. That's what we're supposed to talk about. We're supposed to teach them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make disciples of all the nations. Make sure that we help them be obedient to things like that. Beth, it's amazing what happens whenever we do what God tells us to do. And we get changed, and then we see the harvest as we've never seen the harvest before. What are we supposed to be doing as we go? We are carrying the kingdom of God to them. Have you ever thought about that? Here's why I know that. Recorded in Luke's gospel is a very interesting statement that Jesus made. He told those who were with him after one of the Pharisees asked him, you know, one of those tricky questions that they always tried to do. You know, they tried to be smart and trip him up and ask him a tricky thing. So they said, when will the kingdom of God come? Like they were expecting, you know, to trip him up on that. And here's what he said. He said, God's kingdom is coming, no doubt, but not in the way that you will be able to see with your eyes. People will not say, look, here it is, or there it is, because God's kingdom is where? Within you. Usins, that's right. If it's within us, where we go, the kingdom goes. Is this making sense? Is it sinking in? 72. All of us. The kingdom of God goes. We proclaim that it's near because we are there. Got to get it. What is this kingdom all about? It's about healing. It's about freedom. It's about reconciliation. Anybody here need any of those things? I know I needed those things. And there's days now where I still need those things. There's a whole world of people out there that need those things. And they need somebody like you and me to carry the kingdom of God and put it in front of them and say, those things are here. They're very near to you. Because they don't believe any of those things are real. They don't believe anybody cares. They don't believe that anything can be different. And they need to know that the kingdom of God is tangible. How do they get that? You're going to hear about that. Just a minute. This is who we are. This is why the Sycamore Church exists. To carry the message of the kingdom of God, that it is here and it is near and it's available to them. That's who we are. The Sycamore Church, from its inception, is a fellowship of believers that shares the life that God has given to us. We share it with each other, which is a joy. And if you haven't experienced that, come on in. The water's fine. And it's free. We share it with one another. Then we go out and we share it with people who need it, who seek it, and who desire it. We lift others up to see Jesus. That's what we've said we're about. Everything we do is focused on this one mission. And we are going to be laser focused. As we make changes, as we transition, we may not meet the same number of times on a Sunday. We may meet and do different things. But one thing that will not change and will never be different is that we are going to stick to the mission. So sticking to the mission in this endeavor, we're not going to complicate this message. Okay? There are people, I know and you know, who love God and love the Lord, but the problem is they create barriers between God and people. Unintentionally, with well-meaning hearts, create barriers. We are not going to create barriers. We are going to break down barriers. Instead of letting barriers exist, we are going to find ways that we can destroy them. We're going to do that through prayer. We're going to do that through loving people. We're going to do it through building relationships with people and giving people time. This is who we are. So as God continues to recreate us, We all get to be a part of this at this time. It is a remarkable time for God to essentially remake and remold and replant and do amazing things. We're going to demolish all those complications and all those barriers through love and good deeds and prayer. That's who we are. So, what do we have to invest? Next slide there, John. What do we have to invest? So, if we are to go, and Jesus gave us an example, and whenever he left heaven and he came here, he pretty much put everything on the line. He left it all and came here. What do we have to invest as he invested everything? First of all, we have our transformed life, our story with the grace of God. So whenever we go into the world, whether we are going to Walmart or whether we are going to Alabama or whether we are going to wherever, the uttermost parts of the earth, we have a transformed life to share. We are different. We ought to be different. We have joy. We have peace. We have patience that perhaps we didn't have before. All of that we have to share because it's our story with the grace of God. Not only that, we have that time and those relationships that we build in time. We have that to invest in other people. That's going. We also have things that God has enabled us to do. We have gifts and we have abilities. We have the gift. We have so many gifts here that I could not catalog or categorize all the gifts that we have here. There are a lot of people out there that will hear you because of your transformed life and because you took the time to serve and share with them your abilities, your gifts, and that's the kingdom of God at work. It's the ministry of fixing cars. The ministry of cooking for somebody. The ministry of, can I help you work on your yard? Okay, whatever. Gifts and abilities. We invest that as we go. We invest through intercession. You know, I encourage you, you need to be keeping up with those people that you are praying for, that you know are the harvest. You know people who are lost and acting like they don't have a shepherd and they need a direction, they need help. You need to be praying for those people and keeping up with what God does because that's how we build testimonies. We want to keep doing stuff and then trying to act like it never happened. We ought to be rejoicing and giving God glory whenever he does stuff in people's lives. Intercession, very important. Lastly, we got that big bear in the closet, and that is material stuff, okay? Every one of us has got stuff, okay? I got stuff you can have because I don't know what to do with it. Do you have stuff you don't know what to do with and somebody needs it? But then there's stuff that God's entrusted you and me with, and we're supposed to be investing that in the kingdom and not acting like, well, let me go back to this story here. Here's another parable Jesus told. How about Matthew chapter 25? It's not on the slide. Jesus told a parable. There were three servants. The master said, I'm going to give you some stuff. I want you to do some things with it for me. I'm going on a trip. He gave one 5 talents, another one 2 talents, another one 1. Y'all know the story, right? The guy with 5 goes and puts it to work. He invests it. He does something with it. Okay? The guy that has 2, he does the same thing. He goes and he takes the 2 and he puts it into something that it's risky, but it's work. Okay? And it develops and it multiplies. Then you have the one guy that's at the end. What did he got 1 talent. What did he do with that? Okay? He put that thing in the ground and he buried it. He didn't do diddly squat with it. How many of you and me are not using the resources that God has given to us, and we're acting like servant number three. Okay, servant number one, servant number two, I like that outcome. And if you pay attention to the story, servant one and servant two, if we went back to the 72, because I didn't read that at the bottom, when the 72 came back, you know what they said? Holy cow, the kingdom really is near. Holy cow, when we preached and when we prayed for people, stuff happened. Holy cow, the kingdom of God really is at my doorstep. Wasn't that amazing? We're not giving God a chance to do that when we're servant number three. We have this to invest. We don't want to be like servant number three. We want to, don't, everybody always in the world wants to say, I just want God to do that stuff. Well, let's let him do it. But we got to be faithful if we're going to let him do it. We keep acting like it's all his business. Let me do mine pretty much and I'll just stay off to the side. Thank you very much. No, he gave it all to come here and be like us. We need to put everything on the table and say, God, what do I do with this? All of it. What tempts us to be servant number three? Objections. Objections, I think, keep us from obeying God and placing everything on the table before him. So what are your objections? And I probably should have tried to not put all these out there at one time, but I forgot to tell John that I wanted to do that. So you get the full thing. It's kind of like somebody trying to put a hose down your throat. Sorry. I don't know the Bible well enough. There's a good objection. I can't take the kingdom of God to anybody because I don't know enough. Objection two, I'm awkward when I try to talk about God. It's better that I just not do anything or say anything. I'll just be a secret believer over here in the corner. I'm too busy to fill in the blank. I do not have enough money to fill in the blank. The only problem is we have this little story about this widow who had nothing. And Jesus and his disciples were there in the temple. And when the woman put that little bitty tiny copper coin in that offering, and then the other dude gave a lot of stuff, Jesus pointed out the woman that gave the little copper coin to his disciples and said, she gave everything. She was not a servant number three. I do not have anything to give and share with other people, which is true for maybe some people who are homeless, but it isn't true for anybody like me who's got a house and several cars and all that kind of stuff. I don't like people. People are messy. That's an objection. Now, what do I know about this objection thing? I know that objections are kind of just a part of the symptom of being human. Even the people that God uses the most can make objections. Moses, when God was having this little interview with him at the beginning of the third part of his life, while he is there in the middle of the wilderness, and there's this little thing called a burning bush, and God showed up there, and he said, Moses, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to go tell Pharaoh some things for me, and I want you to bring my people out. Tell them where to go. Moses goes, his first thing that he said was something along the line of, I'm not important enough. The second thing he said was, I got a really bad history in Egypt. Third thing he says was, I don't talk real well in front of people. So Moses had a lot of objections. And you know what God told Moses? God told Moses, I can do more than you can imagine. I can compensate for every single one of your objections. And he did. Will you go? Will you invest what I've given to you? I've given you this crooked staff that you've used to lead sheep. What are you going to do with that staff? You going to use it to serve me and to communicate? Even a stick God can use if you put it in front of him. and let them use it. God's saying the same thing to us whenever we raise objections. He can compensate for, more than compensate for, any one of the objections that we might raise that keep us from investing, that keep us from going, from realizing that the harvest is all over the place and that there are people who are like sheep without a shepherd, who need the kingdom of God that we carry within us. So, what can you do to invest practically? Again, here's another list I probably should have animated one at a time. Simple things. Be kind, be gracious, be forgiving. As you go, you do these things, there ain't no law against them. Be available, helpful, serve others selflessly. Be compassionate. These are all ways to invest into other people. Be encouraging. Be generous. Don't be a servant number three. It all belongs to God. He's either going to let you be faithful and redistribute it, or He's going to do it for you. Because it is going to get where He wants it to go. Articulate your tangible and personal relationship with God. That doesn't mean you have to know everything and have every answer that anybody could ever ask. Hey, if you've had a teenager yet, there ain't no way you can answer all those questions. I can't. But I do know, that in time, I can either help them find the answers or they can be settled with the answers that God's given them from now. Know how to expose the barriers. You and I need to understand that we don't always have to have an answer, nor can we necessarily provide the solution for people who have the great needs, who need the kingdom, who are aimless, okay? I don't have to have all the answers, but what I need to know is I need to be able to say the kingdom is the answer. Do you see that this is a barrier? All I have to do is help them see that there is a way for God to deal with that barrier. I don't have to explain it. Those, the 12 and the 72, and then all those that Jesus sent out whenever He shared that great commission, He didn't say you got to have all the answers. He just said, go make disciples. Go live with them. Go talk to them. Go listen to them. Go shepherd them. Expose the barriers. That's all you got to do. Sounds like this is keeping you from understanding. Yeah, it is. Here's the kingdom. You can buy into the kingdom. All we have to share is that they can have the kingdom. Ask people if they want the kingdom to be near to them. You know, that definition of insanity, which is doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again and expecting something different to happen, why don't we try something different? Instead of us being in charge, instead of doing things our way, would you like to see if the kingdom can make a change? The power of the name of Jesus, the fact that He died for them, the fact that He proved that He had the power to forgive their sin because He was resurrected from the dead, He took up His life on the third day. It isn't just good story. It's changed over 2,000 years worth of people who would trust it. Ask people if they want the kingdom of God to be near to them. We have a lot to invest. This is a great time. It's time to be ready for the harvest. Are you excited about that? I'm more excited about that than I've been in quite a while. What are you going to invest? What do you have to put on the table to give to God that you've been holding back? Because you don't want to be servant number three. You want to be one or two. Okay? One or two. I want to be able to be one of those guys that go, man, when I invested what God gave me, I got to see the kingdom. I got to see the stuff. Don't you want to see the stuff? I want to see lives changed. I want to see relationships reconciled. I want to see people healed. I want to see people feel free from stuff they never thought they would ever be free from. This is an invitation. But it's an invitation not to come. It's an invitation to go. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this little bit of heaven. Lord, the fact that we get to enjoy this fellowship. But Lord, we also realize, and I bless your name, that you've given us to one another. Lord, there are people just an arm's length from us who need to see that the kingdom of God is near. Lord, help us to pray and then realize we are there, that you have sent us, and that what we have within us can change them too. It's not a bunch of information. It's the power of God. It's the life that you've given to us that is eternal. Help us to reflect your glory. Lord, we have a whole mix of folks here today. And if there's somebody here who's really feeling like you're still in that sheep without a shepherd kind of mode, that's okay. I just ask that if you want to pursue and be in this kingdom, you want to experience this kingdom, that you would let either Dane or Dusty or me know, or write it on that card that you got when you came in. Because there's a great thing going on, and God's in the middle of it. And he wants you to be in the front row. Lord Jesus, I thank you for speaking to us today. Even if you spoke to your people about stuff that had nothing to do with what I was saying, I'm at peace with that. Because you're going to say truth and you're going to give life. And I pray, Lord, that we would respond and follow through on what you tell us to do as we've been here together today. In just a minute, Dane and Kathy, Dusty and Audrey, Regina and I are going to be here up front. The reason we do this is so that you have an opportunity, if God is putting something on your heart that you want somebody to pray with you about, that we are available to you. That if there's a need you have that you want somebody to pray with you about, that we're available to you. But the reality is there may be people sitting next to you or somebody else that you know here that you want to pray with. You can do that too. Because we are a kingdom of priests to one another. But we want to make ourselves available now because you need to know that there's somebody here who desires to partner with you and come alongside of you. So that's what this time's about. So we ask all this in Jesus' name, and we ask you to keep moving, Lord Jesus. Also, if you're new to us, this time we have baskets up here. We don't pass offering plates or anything, but there's a basket in back and there's baskets up here. And if you want to put offering in those, that's how we do that. Also, if you have a prayer request and you've written on a card, put those in the baskets and we collect those. And as pastors, we pray early in the week with you about those things that you have entrusted to us. So I just want you to know that's how we do things.
Have your attention for just a moment. Well, this is Joel. He's been visiting with us for a few months now. We thank God for him. He wants to share a brief testimony of some things that God has done in his life over the last few months.
I'm gonna try to get through this without crying. So if I do, I apologize. So I think it's about 3 weeks ago that Hope was singing a song, and one of the lyrics in the chorus was, "Jesus died for me." And at the end of the song, she shared a testimony. And she said that if she had been the only person on the earth, that Jesus would have died for her. But if it had been one prisoner on the face of the earth, that Jesus would have died for that prisoner too. Well, I was that prisoner. I was in Johnson State Prison for 7 years. And I came home in 2009. And a godly man and his wife hired me as their dishwasher. Now, 11 years later, I pretty much run the company. But through that company, I met Linda Wheeler. I don't know if Linda's here today or not. Linda and Larry. I didn't see them. And I met Sophia and some other people. So I've been home for 11 years and married, children, married for 32 years. And in August, I found out that my wife of 32 years had a boyfriend. We separated, got divorced in December. And it was very traumatic. And I ended up with perforated ulcers, had to have surgery in the middle of the night. I was in the hospital for a week. And Sophia came to visit me, and she brought me this beautiful card that she had made herself out of just a piece of white paper with some artwork and some personal scripture that had edified me. And I still have it today. It's on my desk, as a matter of fact. But she saw a need for the harvest, and her and Bobby invited me to church, and I've been pretty much coming ever since. So during all of this that was going on, I decided I didn't want to stay in the house that my wife and I shared for 20 years. And I wanted to get my own home, but then I had this surgery and I didn't have health insurance. And the operation, the hospital stay, was $57,000. And I'm thinking, there's no way I can get a house now. Well, I got approved for the home loan. And the whole time that all this was going on with the underwriter, I'm thinking, I'm never going to get this home loan. So I got a letter from University Memorial Hospital 3 weeks ago on a Friday. Some anonymous person who was familiar with my circumstances has paid the entire debt in full. Now, Dane, a few weeks ago, was preaching about a debt that cannot be repaid. I think it was you who, or maybe it was Dusty. It was Dusty because his dad had bought him a car. He walked into the dealership and he was just so overwhelmed that this had happened for him because it made his life a little easier. So someone that I don't know, that I'll never know, paid a $57,000 hospital bill, okay? I got into my home and had some great friends and some of my children, and my son and my nephew and Lynn Whitmore and Paul Kennedy. They all helped me get in and get settled, and it's been good. But here, this is the reason I came forward, was because of what Hope said 3 weeks ago. I got so. I have not been closer to God in the past 20 years than I am right now. When I was in prison, I got chain gang religion. I thought that if I did Bible studies and I went to the religious services in the gymnasium, that God would somehow let me out early, or He would protect and provide for my family while I was incarcerated. And then I found a scripture in Hebrew, I think it's Hebrew 5, where he disciplines the child that he loves. So I accepted the fact that I was going to stay in prison. But he did protect and provide for my family. But when I got out, I wanted to be involved in a church, but I felt like I could never be close to God because of the crimes that I had committed, and because there was just chasm between me and the Lord. So I wasn't close to Him. And then here in the past 6 months, 5 months, 4 months, especially with the divorce and everything, and then becoming a part of this group and really getting into the Word, I have realized, and it really goes back to what Hope said, there's nothing that you've done in your life, nothing, that God won't forgive you for. He loves you, He died for you, and He wants you close to Him. And He wants to be close to you. So if you're struggling with something that you've done in your past, if you've done something recently, you've done something 20 years ago, all you got to do is go before Him and just ask Him for forgiveness and come into your heart, and He will. And He'll be real in your life, and you'll be real to Him. And that's just all I wanted to say. And I love you guys.
Thank you. Thank
you. You matter, and it matters that you go. You just heard testimony. It matters. Let's stand. Father God, I pray that as we go out the doors, we'll understand that it is Your Spirit that has taken us into the world to be Your hands and Your feet, to say the kingdom is near. Lord, Let them see it, and let us see it. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.